Hey, welcome to another Thursday edition of Sports Look here on K Radio. It is great to have you along with us. And our Sports Look sponsors, as always, fantastic folks at Exchange Bank, Taco John's, Gerber Electric, and Hamada Wealth Management. Gus, as we are rapidly approaching the holiday break for a lot of schools, we still have a couple of games coming up here on Care Radio. And tomorrow night, we're going to be with the Phoenix once again, as Atchison is going to be on the road at Rossville. Looking forward to that one. We'll be talking about that matchup coming up. And then next Tuesday, we're going to be in Effingham, as it'll be ACCHS here on Care Radio for the boys and girls game. So looking forward to bringing you all of that. Is high school basketball has moved to the forefront, and there is a flurry of games and a lot of activity going on. And we had some great games just a couple of nights ago, Tuesday night, around the area.
Yeah, you were up at the Atchison Gymnasium and got to see a really good guys game and a girls game that was hard fought with an opponent who you're not used to seeing.
No, we don't ever get to see some of these teams. We got Ottawa coming to town, and I think Ottawa is a great matchup for Atchison. They're very similar in size, hour and a half apart. Not a terrible kind of a trip. And it's always good to see a new opponent, and they were really good. We saw a little different style of ball. We saw, you know, we saw some getting up and down and some big kids, and the guys game could not have been more exciting, as Atchison, trailing by two with a few seconds left, took a timeout. And Gus, I got to tell you, Coach Battle had drawn this play up. I didn't know what the play was going to be, but I knew they didn't have much time to get off a shot. You could see they executed this thing to perfection. But even when you get everybody in the right spot, the final cog is you got to get the biscuit in the basket, right? And when Rafe took that shot, it was one of those where you're in the right spot. You're perfectly in line behind the shooter with the basket straight in front of you. As the ball was coming up, I'm like thinking to myself, it's a really good shot. He got the shot he wanted. As it left his hand, I'm thinking, well, that's a pretty good-looking shot. As it's getting about halfway there, I'm thinking, this thing's got a real chance of going in. And then he just buries it. Buzzer goes off. Atchison wins by one. It was a thrilling, thrilling finish.
Yeah, so many people can do the X's and O's thing, right? Like draw up a play in the dirt. But the problem is, then you got to go out there and execute it. And just because you executed it, doesn't mean the ball was going to go in. So, I mean, there's so many moving pieces to it, and, you know, a fantastic finish to that ball game. I mean, so to recap, you saw Wamego on Friday night.
I did.
And you haven't seen the Red Raiders, you know, probably
for
in
years.
Some time.
Yes.
You saw Ottawa boys and girls, and you probably haven't seen Ottawa in a while.
Correct.
And then you're going to turn around and see a team Friday night that you see maybe once a year in a, you know, like a McLeod tournament or something like that, but not exactly in the scenario you're going to see them.
No, we see their football team pretty often, you know, in postseason play because they're always so good. And I don't think that I've been to the Rossville Gymnasium in 10 or 15 years, maybe, something like that. So it's going to be a fun time. And again, not a terrible trip, just west of Topeka a little bit, out 24. And so it should be great fun. I like the way that the schedule is kind of coming together and letting Phoenix fans see some fun and good basketball.
Speaking of good basketball, there was some good basketball earlier this week. You saw, what, ACCHS, a 49-21 winner over McLeod. Riverside came up a little short over Sabetha, 51-46. Jackson Heights girls beat Valley Falls, 50-21. It was Pleasant Ridge over JCN, 33-31. And Moore Hill Mount Academy ladies with a 37-30 victory over Oskaloosa. Turning to the guys' side, ACCHS boys with a win over McLeod, 43-29. It was Valley Falls all over Jackson Heights, 63-35, so some points scored there. The JCN boys score 38 and come out on top of Pleasant Ridge, 38-34. And Moore Hill Mount Academy boys with a nice win over Oskaloosa, 53-51.
Yeah, so there was a lot of good games going on around, and got a lot of good games coming up as the week goes on, because, first of all, sports going on around the area. Tonight is wrestling night, Thursday night wrestling night. You're going to have McLeod and Oskaloosa and Onega are all going to be traveling out to the St. Mary's Invitational. You'll have Donovan West at the Rossville. We talked about Rossville. Donovan West and Atchison are both going to be at the Rossville Invitational today. And Sabetha in a Big 7 matchup is going to be at Holton this evening. Girls wrestling, Oskaloosa at St. Mary's, Sabetha at Fairbury.
Do you know where Fairbury is?
Absolutely.
Okay, I have no clue.
Fairbury, Nebraska?
I was going to guess Nebraska. I wasn't sure, but I was going to guess Nebraska.
Never done a game there. Have driven through town. But boys basketball coming up this Friday night. Wow, the Big 7's got some great games like Nemaha Central at Royal Valley. We're also going to see Riverside checking in at Perry LeCompton. ACCHS will travel to Horton Friday night. It'll be Jackson Heights at JCN. Oskaloosa goes to McLeod, Pleasant Ridge at Valley Falls, and Valley Heights will be at home with Donovan West. Holton goes to Hiawatha, Jeff West, Sabetha. I think we're not really into thick of the basketball end. Again, we talked about that flurry at the end of the opening semester.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of the end of, we break the season down into three parts, right? The pre-Christmas, Christmas to the mid-season tournaments, and then mid-season tournaments to the end. And we're starting to finish up that first half. And you always look at the Christmas break as a good time for the coaches to kind of sit back, look at what their teams have done, and maybe go back to the drawing board, maybe just build on what you've done. And I think for me, the interesting thing is always those first couple games back after the break, because you're going to find out what that coach saw in the first half and what kind of adjustments they've made to their teams from the first semester into the early portion of the second semester.
Yep, and you look around the conferences, they're already kind of shaking out a little bit. How about that Northeast Kansas League girls side? You've got great teams. You've got ACCHS, who continues to be undefeated. They're 4-0 in the conference. Jackson Heights are 4-1 overall. Jackson Heights, 3-0 in the conference. They are 4-0. Overall, Morehill Mount Academy girls at 3-1 in the conference. JCN and Valley Falls are 2-2, and then single wins for Horton, McLeod, Pleasant Ridge. Oskaloosa is at 0-3 in the early part of the season in NEKL girls basketball.
Quick look around the state in the KBCA rankings, and on the girls' side, Nemaha Central is number 5 in Class 3A. In Class 2A, you have Jackson Heights girls ranked number 9, and the ACCHS ladies coming in the top 10 at number 10.
Northeast Kansas boys, you're going to have a couple of teams here who should be getting some state recognition. As Valley Falls is 4-0 in the conference, JCN is 4-0 in the conference. That's matching up.
Number 5 and number 7, respectively. So JCN is number 7. You've got Valley Falls number 5 in Class 2A.
Yep, and Morehill Mount Academy guys are 3-1, just like the girls are, 3-1. Also Pleasant Ridge. So there's a definite line there as Jackson Heights and Atchison County with one win. Horton, Oskaloosa, McLeod looking for the first W of the basketball season. Lots of hoops going on. Pick your team. Check the schedules. Go to MSC Sports, see who's playing. And, of course, we'll have games here on Care Radio when there are games. We'll be back. More Sports Look after this. Back with you here on Sports Look on Care Radio. Gussie, Benedictine basketball has come in. It's a long bus ride, okay, from Atchison to San Juan, Puerto Rico, but that's where they're at. They're going to be playing in San Juan tomorrow and Saturday. They'll be playing the University of Diamond on Friday and Saturday. They're going to be playing Rio Pedreas. And I am told, and I don't know this, I'm just reporting what they
do in both those games. It's going to be a Friday morning, 8 a.m., Saturday morning, 8 a.m. game. So it'll be interesting to, you know, keep an eye on those games and how they go. And, you know, we're kind of winding down the first semester. And
what you hope is that 8 a.m. game.
You know, but now you're starting to kind of get into that middle of the season, those kind of tournaments and the different. Pardon me, there we go. But some of the games going on also, you've got Grandview playing Florida National, which is kind of. The one that I laugh at is coming up here in a week or so. Tuesday, December 28th, women's basketball at Sioux City, Iowa. Going to be Grandview ladies playing Morningside. It sounds like those two teams might have something going on in another sport coming up soon, but
they
maybe we'll dive into that here in a few.
They could. They just...
But, you know, you've got teams going to, you know, California, Bellevue, Nebraska, Briar Cliff, Phoenix, Arizona. The ladies will be. They'll be at Phoenix and Chandler, Arizona. So, you know, a lot of games going on. I kind of like this time of the year where you get that piecemealed games and you get a chance to see some of these other teams.
Yeah, and the, you know, the Heart of America Athletic Conference is kind of quieting down a little bit. The first semester, I don't know. I don't know if there were really any great surprises, were there, with the, on the ladies' side with how things have gone. I think other than Central Methodist has had some losses, and I didn't think that they would. Certainly a couple of them were, you know, were COVID-related because they had to forfeit a couple of games, and then they had a stumble, and, you know, who knows what full strength and, you know, how well-prepared they were.
Surprises that Central Methodist has three losses. I'm going to say they really only have one loss, considering two of those were, you know, the COVID-related. Doesn't it feel like when you see the Conference Player of the Week, week in and week out, it Methodist has, again this week, is Arlisha McElroy was the Conference Player of the Week. She only averaged 35.5 free throws last week. So, you know, those are okay numbers. You know, maybe the team, though, that does jump out to me, if you look at the ladies' side, that, you know, has a solid foundation. They've got a lot of pieces back from last year's team, and I really like their head coach up there. But I think the team that jumped...
A lot of talent from last year's team. Yeah. You know, and at that point, you're always wondering, you know, how full is the Cubs? We know they're going to be okay, but are they going to be as good? And the answer to that is kind of yes. But you know what? I think that there's an advantage to being at Clark. I think because every home game, not only is it a home game, which is always an advantage, but the teams have traveled. They're beat up by the time they walk in the door. They're exhausted. And so I would like to think when Clark plays a home game, they are not getting those opponents at their finest.
Right. You know, it's almost like a double home game, right? Because like the road trip factors in. You look at the North Division, they've got two 4-0 teams. I think the thing that jumps out at me is Mid-America, okay? And the reason I say that is I kind of expected the Lady Ravens to be really good this year. They're 10-2, they're 3-1, but the thing I can't get is Mid-America. They're 3-1 in conference play. They are 5-4 overall.
Yeah, see, what that does is, you like to say, oh, we're playing good teams. You know, we're getting better and better. But what that does really is that hurts you in the long run. It hurts you if you're going to go to the postseason. It hurts you in your, you know, in where you get seated.
It hurts you from where you bank on those wins. And like the Lady Ravens, you're halfway home at the Christmas break.
Yes.
They get two in Puerto Rico. I mean, you're looking at 12 wins before January 1 is a great place to be. I mean, and at that point, you're starting to kind of eye up all these little pods and where you might end up.
So to continue here on Care Radio. Good to have you back with us here on Sports Look as we go to the third segment, Gus, and we talk Benedictine College men's basketball. Wow. What a great finish for BC Saturday afternoon. Ravens with a nice home win and now propel themselves into what for them is a, you know, uncharted territory with 3 weeks off between games. Not so much 3 weeks off, but 3 weeks between games, and actually Coach Moody and his staff giving the players, you know, a little bit of time to just to kind of R&R.
Yeah, you know, you start to look at the guys' side, and yeah, Benedictine with that win over Park the other day jumped out to a big lead, and that's kind of been the problem for this Ravens team this year is that they've gotten behind early in games, but this one jumped out early, were able to put away Park and come away with the win against a very, you know, competitive Park Pirates team who didn't get to play last night because the girls' game got suspended at halftime and the guys' game, they just canceled for a later date. But you talk about the Benedictine men and kind of where they're at in the conference, and this Heart of America Athletic Conference is going to be just topsy-turvy all year, right?
Oh, it's a mess.
There's not an undefeated team left in the conference, so
nope.
It's pretty safe to say that nobody was going to run the gamut. But taking a look at the top side of the North Division, you've got Penn at 12-1, 4-1. You've got Peru State at 3-2, Grandview, Mount Mercy, and Clark all at 2-2. Culver Stockton, who might have been a week ago the best team looking in the conference.
And my question to you is, what in the world is going on in Canton with these guys?
Three right? Or 9-0 to 1-3. Anyway, they're 10-3 at the break, but 1-3 in conference play. And then you got Graceland, who's, you know, still looking for a win in the conference, but I have a feeling that a lot of the people at Graceland still just walk in the gym, look and make sure that banner is still hanging there and say, we're okay where we're at.
Yeah, and here's the great thing. You got your most recent national champion in Graceland.
Yeah.
They are the only team in this conference that is below 500.
See? Yeah.
You go to the south side and you talk about where Benedictine's at. Look at Central Methodist, 11-2, 3-1 in the conference. Evangel is 9-4, 3-2 in the conference. Valley, Park, and Benedictine are all 2-2 with 10-8-7 wins in the conference, even in conference play that is under 500 on the south side. This thing is going to be...
The South is going to be muddy this year, right? It's going to be just a knockdown drag out all year. And I say that because you talk about Baker. Well, was it Saturday afternoon? Baker knocks off Missouri Valley. And so it's just one of those things that you would have said, oh, well, Baker.
Now, if you're on the outside looking in at this conference, you're not familiar with the teams, and you're just, you know, you're a fan of NAIA basketball and you have a cursory interest in what goes on. You look at this conference. Do you say, wow, this is a very strong group of teams that are competitive? Or do you say, they're just not all very good and they're just kind of beating up on each other? I mean, as an outsider, so but will they put many in the national tournament this year? And I think probably not, because there's with a couple of teams exception, there's going to be no teams with like...
Right, and there's the problem, is you got to get to that plateau of the 20 wins, right? I mean, so checkbox number one, how many teams have 20 wins?
Okay, there will be four. Ken is going to do it, Culver's going to do it, Central Methodist is going to do it.
Hey, it's just like when you're putting together your, you know, All-Americans and stuff. You could have a guy that rushes for 950 yards in the best conference in the country. Or you could take a guy who rushes for 3,000 yards in a season against, going to say, that guy rushed for 3,000 yards. Yeah, but he did it against nobody, right? I mean, and you saw that a couple years ago with the running back out of Kansas Wesleyan, right? Got to the playoffs, played really good teams, numbers really diminished after that. So I think that you kind of see those things add up here is like, you know, you got to get those wins and bank them away, because that's really what the...
For Benedictine, it's a murderer's row coming up of really good teams. They've played no team out of the North yet. And so we're going to see how it all shakes out.
You got to feel like this 3 weeks off is going to be huge for this team, especially a team that has a lot of... Yeah, especially a team that has a lot of upperclassmen, and basketball's a little different than football, right?
Wait, let's not just call them upperclassmen. You're talking about 5-6-year guys.
Right.
Okay, so they're not kids anymore. They're not 18- and 19-year-olds springing back. I mean, let's be honest. I could tell you as a fact... A few years, you don't spring back as quick.
See? And I think that for this team, it's going to do them wonders to just be able to, you know, get regrouped and get ready for that, you know, mid to late season push. So, again, guys basketball right now in full swing in the Heart of America Athletic Conference, and I don't think there's just one team that just runs away with this conference. In
January the 2nd. As that's going to be the very first game up for the Ravens in the second semester. And let me make sure that I'm correct. Is that really true? The January 2nd game is a Sunday game. Is that right? Is this correct?
You wouldn't think so, but
and I can't imagine it. But I do know the Ravens are going to play 9 games
January. We have played Sunday games.
Games in January, and that's a lot. So, I mean, the quick math is every 2-3 days you're playing again. So, Coach, would you like to talk about, you know, the grind of the seat? My little screen here, it all tells me we're playing in Fayette on Sunday. So, we'll cross that bridge when we get to it. But for the Ravens...
You know, I mean, some of the guys that you expected, Jaden Bristol had a great first start, or first half of this season, and, you know, but there are some... For a team that returned everybody, there are still some pieces that I think Coach Moody would like to move around and play around with and change and do some things. And so I think that and maybe, you know, find shots for different people. And, again, sometimes that's the problem with a team like this who's so talented. We only have one ball to go around.
Yeah, right? 200 minutes.
Yeah, and how many times did we talk about the Ravens over the last 3 years, and we can continue to say it this year because this team hasn't changed in 3 years as far as... So you want to guard Matt Austin, Jaden Bristol is going to hit you for 20. You're going to stop Jaden Bristol, Eric Cruz is going to hit you for 20.
And let's throw Nysir in. I was going to say, Nysir Scott is in the nation right now.
Yeah, he has really turned it on this year and showed that he can, you know, score it with... There's a national championship football game coming up on Saturday.
Yeah, there is.
And do you have a prediction?
Well, yeah. I mean, first of all, my prediction kind of went south when I really thought that the defending national champion, Lindsey Wilson, was going to go ahead and win it all again. And since they are not, you can't pick anybody except the team that beat them.
So you're going to go Grandview.
Yeah.
Okay. They have some guys on this team that are really out to prove something. Tony Turner, their wide receiver. You know, they've got the big kid from Arkansas. But at the end of the day, it's going to be tough to stop Morningside and Dolinchek. I mean, I was looking at his numbers the other day, and I'm just like, those are video game numbers that he's putting up. And Morningside, though, that's what's crazy. Is
playing, you know, crummy teams.
Yeah, so...
They're inflated numbers.
All right, you're going Grandview. I just feel like it's going to be Morningside. And ready for the kicker? 17 more.
Wow.
Yeah. So, we'll see.
We're looking forward to it. Hey, we're going to be back. We got a huge fourth segment of Sports Talk coming your way right after this. Back with you here on Sports Look. All eyes are on the NFL tonight. We talk about the Thursday side because usually it's not a very good game and kind of a throwaway game. Tonight is different.
It's going to be a Thursday night game, Chiefs-Chargers. The winner of this is going to win the AFC West. The winner of this will punch their ticket to the playoffs game. And I'm going to tell you, go figure. COVID rears its ugly head, and this is going to really change the dynamics of this game tonight.
Yeah, I don't think there's any question. It is a short rest week. It is all this. It is all that. You know, little prep week. But for Kansas City, their dominance over the Raiders last week allowed those starters to play a big half.
Yeah, I mean, they didn't do much in the second half and didn't have to, and so that helped them out quite a bit. You look at the Chargers, they didn't give them the two quarters of rest, and they're going to need it. But again, that trip all the way out to California and all that, it just is... It's tough to win on the road. It's tough to win on the road on a short week.
Yes. I watched the Chiefs' flight take off yesterday from KCI. 50-mile-an-hour winds, but straight down the runway.
I would say that thing will shoot you right to California.
But they're not very healthy. And it's not just Kansas City. It has become a real problem around the NFL. And Roger Goodell is going to have to figure out a way that they're going to probably continue to modify the COVID protocols.
Yeah, you know, and so you're going to see... I feel like I've heard now that Chris Jones is out. I mean, they haven't gone any further on that, but I feel like he's out for tonight. Who else? L'Jarius Sneed won't play, but he is back with the team, which is, you know, him at this point in things. So, you know, they're going to be without that. Flip the script, though, to the Chargers. And they're going to be without their rookie left tackle, Rashawn Slater. And that is a big deal. The Chargers were terrible on the offensive line last year. They now without him going up against a Frank Clark who, I'm telling you, Frank looks like the $100 million defensive end in the last 3 weeks.
Frank's eyes have got to be huge, right?
Huge.
He's just got to be looking at that going, I can't wait to line up.
Yeah, and so, I mean, I expect the Chiefs to maybe do some difference on the defense. So now's your chance to, you know, improvise, especially if Chris Jones isn't in there. You're going to see maybe more of that. I always call it kind of that NASCAR pack. Where I think Benedictine, when they went to the national championship that year, they called it their Mizzou package, where you start putting lines, you know, more creative looks tonight from Kansas City. And look back to that game at Arrowhead, way back on September 26th. The Chiefs lose by 6 in a game. They turn the ball over 4 times.
The first four possessions.
Yeah, and couldn't stop the Chargers for anything. All of a sudden, this is a completely different Chiefs team. But again, right now, Kansas City's offense looks like it has figured some things out.
Yeah, should be an interesting game, should be a fun game. And this is going to have, you know, I would suspect, the best numbers of any Thursday night game of the season.
Yeah, I would think so. Kansas City right now, only a 3, maybe a little bit of an undersell.
Yeah, and 52 points, that's going to be pretty close.
Yeah, I feel like that's about spot on. There's Saturday football. There's college football. So correct. The NFL is going to play a couple Saturday games. You're going to have Raiders at the Browns. Unfortunately, that could be an interesting game. Get a favorite in that ball game by 1.5.
Well, here's the problem. The Browns are without Baker.
Right. So it'll be interesting to see how the Browns play. Patriots at Colts Saturday night. Now, that could be a great game. A couple teams vying for playoff spots. India.
Is there a rallying point here? Is there a team that you'd rather see win than the other? I mean, I don't know.
Maybe the Colts down gives you a better shot at the one seed. If the Patriots don't start losing some games, they're going to win that one seed. So, again, I would say...
This is a stinker, though, isn't it?
Trash. Sunday and Monday, right? Like, neither one of those games do anything for me. I watch the Monday night game, and that's, like, really the only reason. Saints at Buccaneers on Monday night, and it's just like, was it last week, was Packers, Bears, and it just doesn't do anything for me.
Yeah, but black and teal got black and blue a little bit in Jacksonville.
Oh, how about that? Urban Meyer. It just never worked out. It wasn't good from the start. And
is it a bad fit? Is it a bad coach? Is it just bad decisions? I mean,
it's a little bit of everything, right? Like, if you're really interested in it, just Google Urban Meyer Jacksonville. You're going to find out some interesting. But kudos maybe to Jacksonville for not writing that out any longer and letting that become a worse situation. Ready for the kicker?
Yeah.
I think that's a great job for Eric Bieniemy.
Oh, that could be a real...
You know, you got a real promising young quarterback.
Hey, there's some great bowl games coming up because we're going to be a little bit...
Tomorrow.
And they start immediately. Yeah, how about that?
Yeah, Middle Tennessee and Toledo already tomorrow. Northern Illinois and Coastal Carolina will be tomorrow games already. Are there any of these games that jump out at you that you're just like, man, I got to watch that?
Not a good reason to watch. I like the fact that you're playing UCF in Florida. That's going to be a great game down in the peninsula.
Yeah, you know, that's a good game for UCF, right? That's the game they want. If you're Florida, that is a no-win game for you. I think Houston and Auburn in the Birmingham Bowl could be good at noon on Tuesday the 28th. Just flying through here. Texas Tech could be a great game. You know, you start looking at the Alamo Bowl. I'm telling you, when the Alamo Bowl said, hey, let's get Oregon hoops and to be announced as head coach for Oregon, right? Like, I mean, you talk about two programs that are right now just treading water trying to figure out things.
That's going to be kind of cool. And, of course, Washington State, Miami. Washington State is one of the smallest teams, I think, in football. And Miami, a team that's trying to find it themselves. Who's going to coach that game for Miami?
You know, I never have heard who's going to coach that game.
I just wonder.
You know, Manny Diaz is now the defensive coordinator at Penn State.
So he's out. He packed his bags. He's history.
Mario Cristobal is hitting the recruiting trail hard, and so that'd be interesting. I think I'm not sure if the college football playoff got it right, but I think
there's going to be well-watched. And Notre Dame and Oklahoma State, too.
That should
very
be
very different. Yeah, that should be a great one.
That should be fun, right? Notre Dame with their new coach, who, you know, they were inches away from possibly making it to the college football playoff on that dive to the end zone. Iowa, Kentucky doesn't do anything. You go to the Texas Bowl on January 4th, LSU and Kansas State. Louisiana State, Kansas State, okay. I mean, when you start getting into the December 31st games, the first game will be that Cincinnati-Alabama game. Wouldn't be shocked if Cincinnati knocks off Alabama. You know, that Cinderella story,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And I think that's what...
That Valvano story.
Yeah, people are going to hold on to that Cincinnati team, hoping for that. And then in the nightcap, I think that should be just a brutal game, right? You're talking about two teams that are just going to beat each other.
Right.
And that is Georgia and Michigan.
Yes.
Two great defenses. I mean, what? First team to 14 might win that game.
Double digits.
And so I think that game is probably going to be your kind of a game. Like, great defenses, two teams that can run the ball pretty effectively.
Well, we're looking forward to doing that. And we're looking forward to the upcoming Care Radio sports schedule. It's not real deep, but it's going to be really good. As tomorrow night, we're going to be with the Atchison Phoenix at Rossville. Girls game around 6 o'clock. The guys game going to follow that one. And then we have ACCHS and Horton. So it'll be the Rams and the Tigers here on Gear Radio, and that'll be our final game of this semester. Hey, we want to thank Hamada Wealth Management, Gerber Electric, Taco John's Exchange Bank, our great sports look sponsors. We want to thank Gus Scouts, Tom Counts with you here, and we certainly want to both. Merry Christmas, everybody.